your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In those very Crossbreed Holster Studios, what an honor to be here with you today. A busy week. A busy week last week was up in the frozen tundra at the United States Concealed Carry Association World Headquarter offices, about 70 miles south of Green Bay in the beautiful town of West Bend. Sean, I hear you chuckling already. The music hadn't even stopped.
Yes, I am. I'm sorry.
That's okay. What was so funny? What'd you find humorous?
You actually doing the intro, and one of these days I'm going to sneak up on you.
We'll have some fun with that, I know. You keep threatening that. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you hear me coming in singing, you know.
Was that what you call it? I thought that was yodeling.
No, I can yodel too, but I won't dare.
I tell you what, I want you to come up with some lyrics for that hee-haw song you got programmed in here.
That hee-haw song is an American anthem by Earl Scruggs.
Oh, I love it. Don't get me wrong, but...
It just sounds a little funny coming in after a little bit of AC/DC or some crack or something like that.
You know what? I'm going to throw in some Snoop Dogg and some Dr. Dre so we have everything covered.
Let's not throw in Snoop Dogg, okay? Or Dr. Dre. You know, we had a busy week last week, as you're pounding on the microphone and the table, up in Wisconsin. A tremendous amount of fun. And it's great to see. Those people are my family. At United States Concealed Carry Association. I've been associated with that group for many, many years, long before the organization had any members or subscribers. It was just the great Tim Schmidt who founded it, really with a dream and a prayer, quite frankly. If you listened to the show last week, you heard him describe how Concealed Carry Magazine was destined for failure. And then the association began to pick up membership, which saved the magazine, quite frankly. Now you've got an organization that is the nation's largest resource, bar none, for the armed, law-abiding, armed citizen. If you live an armed lifestyle and you're not a member of the USCCA, I mean, I just have to ask why. Concealed Carry Magazine itself and the Self-Defense Shield, the insurance program offering three levels of self-defense insurance, is worth the price of admission. If you carry a firearm, this is really something that you should consider. God forbid you have to use that firearm in self-defense. Let me tell you, I used a firearm to defend my life. I merely had to show it. Thank God I didn't have to pull a trigger. There was no insurance at that time. I'll tell you right now, I can't imagine not having that insurance. You know, we had Zimmerman call the program a few weeks back to talk about being $2.5-3 million in debt. Yeah, that's just the beginning. And there are many, many Americans who find themselves financially ruined and destroyed because they had to lawfully defend themselves. The cost is just beginning. So please give consideration to joining the USCCA. Visit uscca.com. It's a fantastic organization with tremendous resources available to you as an armed citizen if you live that lifestyle, if you're even considering it. But Concealed Carry Magazine, Sean, I know you love the magazine. The thing is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It gets better every single issue. Concealed Carry Magazine just gets better and better and better. And everything, and just the fun stuff, like all the pictures.
I have a request.
Go ahead.
Can we send one to Shannon Watts?
She would probably reject it. Now that you mentioned Shannon Watts, Shannon Watts is, let's go ahead and give the Twitter out. We want you to tweet us on air. We're getting tweets throughout the program. It's great to see the cooperation. It's great to see the participation, if you will. Paul D. Kingsley tweets us. First time on Twitter just for Armed American Radio. Listen every week. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate it. Larry Duncan tweets us. Love your show. Question, why can't we file treason charges against anyone trying to take our guns and gun rights?
That is a good question.
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. But back to the Twitter I announced in the last hour. I went to tweet Shannon Watts, as I am prone to do from time to time. She has blocked me. Every Town for Gun Safety apparently is not listening to us today. I wanted to make sure that she knew we were on, and I have been blocked from everything Shannon Watts and Every Town for Gun Safety, which is a badge of honor, quite frankly. In fact, I understand there's a Twitter group out there banned by Shannon Watts. So we'll see who else is banned by Shannon Watts, but that's a lot of fun. Joining me for the program from down in Tampa, Florida, who was kind enough to drive up the almost an hour from Sarasota, Florida, home of Brian Johnson, lead singer for AC/DC. We love that. And that's the gun writer from the Sarasota Herald Tribune. You know him as the gun writer, or Lee Williams. Lee, it's a pleasure to have you here, and I'm jealous you're in my home studio down there, brother.
Well, it's good to be at the never-frozen tundra.
It really is, isn't it? You know, you talk about it, when I landed last week in Wisconsin, it was -9 degrees.
Oh.
And when I got back to Atlanta International Airport, Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, to all of you who would correct me, it's Hartsfield-Jackson, whatever, it's Atlanta. It was about 59 or 60, 61 degrees. You know, it was a 70 degrees, almost a 70 degree temperature shift. And it still wasn't 70 degrees here. So it just tells you how cold it was. But it was just a great time up there with all of those folks. Now, Lee, I'm a little bit upset at you, brother. You're not going to be at SHOT. I'm leaving for Vegas tomorrow, leaving for Las Vegas, and you're not going to be there.
I know. I'm juggling 30 plates in the air all at once. I will be there next year. I've been invited by several groups. I am going to SHOT next year. I will not be there this year. I feel bad
saying
it.
Well, that's okay. Next year, you'll be on an Armed American Radio badge. We'll have you with us.
Definitely.
If people hear you on the radio here, you're going to have a bigger role on the show. We've been bringing you onto the program since you and I met, and it's just a lot of fun. You and I will be doing the program down there together sometime in February. I guess this would be a good time to mention to listeners, I had mentioned that I would be live at the Florida State Fair. It doesn't look like that's going to happen now for a lot of different reasons. I'll explain that when we're in the studio together. But you'll come up, and you and I will do the show together from the very studios that you sit in now.
Live during the Florida State Fair.
Live during the Florida State Fair, and we'll explain why we're not at the fair at that time. We'll hold off on that one for now. All right.
So no Lee. Cotton candy for me?
No.
No fun Florida food on a stick. But I will be back at the Minnesota State Fair. Ooh. Already have the logistics worked out in August. We do that every year. A fantastic time had by all. Mm. That really is a fun place, man. Talk about a great time. The Minnesota State Fair is just enormous. All right, Lee, we have a lot to talk about. Let's Amber Cuno joins us. Amber, of course, is Armed American Radio's newest contributor. She joins the likes of Lee Williams. She joins David Kodria. She joins the Mad Ogre. Armed American Radio's Washington editor, Neil McCabe, up in Washington, D.C., the great man up there keeping his finger on the pulse for us. Also the Town Hall columnist and editor. Neil does a great job for us up there. And, of course, the great Alan Gottlieb of the Second Amendment Foundation. Now we have Amber giving us a perspective that all of us old white guys can't give, and that's the female perspective. Amber, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I blew it. I was supposed to say Amber Cuno.
Mark Walters.
Welcome to the program. It's great to have you here. Lee and I were talking before this hour started. We teased a little bit about the Papa John's pizza story. You want to clue us in and get us started there?
Yeah, well, I'm sure most people have probably heard a little bit about the story by now, but there was a female Papa John's delivery pizza driver that was actually robbed at gunpoint, and she was able to overtake the attacker because she was carrying her own gun, and she shot him in the face right there outside the Atlanta area, I believe. And Papa John's, believe it or not, awesome, is standing behind her, not going to fire her, even though they have a no guns at the workplace policy. They are standing behind her. Not only that, they're even getting her counseling to top it off. So,
and keeping her employed.
Pretty cool stuff.
I have to ask you this question.
Job.
Were you upset that the robber was shot in the face? Did that bother you?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I mean, the fact that he pulled a gun on her first, and she, from the sound of the story, she was on the ground with a gun pointed at her, and she was able to draw her gun wherever she had it on herself and shoot him successfully is huge. I mean, that's amazing. That's impressive and good for her.
All right. Lee, let me go over to you on this story quickly based on what she just said. She's absolutely correct. This individual was taken down. This is not a person who pulled a firearm in haste thinking she might get robbed. She was in the process of being violently attacked. And you are, in fact, absolutely correct, Amber. This happened in Decatur, Georgia, which is somewhere outside Atlanta. And Lee, we've got 30 seconds going in. I'll let you go ahead and finish up. What does it upset you that the robber was taken down?
No. And from what I heard, she had it in her pocket. So she's drawing from a pocket, drawing from concealment, and putting one round right in the suspect's face. That's good shooting. She's lucky to be alive.
She is absolutely lucky to be alive. When we come back from this break, let's, Amber, if it's okay, let's kind of segue that conversation into what we talked about on your last appearance here on the show just a couple weeks back, and that was the terrible story of the woman in Walmart who was carrying off body. In this case, the young lady was carrying in a pocket. Company policy prohibits employees from utilizing firearms in the performance of their duties. We plan no changes to our current policy, which is designed to protect customers and employees. I'll continue with that statement from Papa John's when we come back.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit gandermountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. Those of you in the Virginia area might remember that band. That's the Waxing Poetics. Baby Jane, great stuff from back in the late 80s. A band I'm surprised never really made it anywhere. Lee Williams, they've got
an
outrageously good album.
I'm not.
You ever heard of them?
I have not.
Well, Sean's over there saying I'm not, but of course he wanted to put Snoop Dogg and Dre on, so.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. Amber Cuno.
Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Here's what the spokesman or spokesperson, whoever it was, will be politically correct. Well, the spokesman from Papa John said, company policy prohibits employees from utilizing firearms in the performance of their duties. We plan no changes to our current policy, which is designed to protect customers and employees. Upon investigation and considering the specific facts of the situation, we have reassigned the employee to work in the store and are offering her counseling to help her recuperate from the incident. And, of course, she was not arrested. And the police chief said, quote, she had no other choice. She was in fear for her life, and she reacted. That was from Captain Stephen Four with the DeKalb County Police Department. Again, that's just a little bit northeast of downtown Atlanta. Amber, what do you make of the company keeping a no-gun policy but not letting her go, as we've seen companies like 7-Eleven and things of that nature do in the past when something like this happens? What's your take on that?
Well, I think, you know, they have the policy, but obviously there's some sort of flexibility in it. And I'm pretty sure a few years ago one of their delivery drivers was actually killed, you know, in a robbery by shooting. So I think they kind of looked at the situation. It could have turned out much different, you know, and the employees are just trying to protect themselves, and they have every right to do that. You know, I don't know if she's walking into work carrying a gun or what, but when she's driving down the road, they use their own cars. You're in your own vehicle. You have every right to carry a gun and defend yourself. I'd do it, too, if I was in their shoes. Absolutely. I'd do it. I wouldn't think twice about it.
Hats off to you. Me, too. Lee Williams, this crime occurred, this attempted robbery of this very brave and hero, as far as I'm concerned, delivery driver for Papa John's, this young lady, happened a day before another Papa John's employee was attacked at gunpoint in Missouri. Do you think Papa John's has gotten the message, like Amber said, and says, look, we have this policy. Let's just keep the policy in place, be flexible on a case-by-case basis. When we look at what Every Town for Gun Safety did, Lee, with the corporate terror tactics that they were using, or the terror tactics anyway, against corporate America to try to bring them to their knees and announce no-gun policies like the one Papa John's just mentioned, yet when these companies were later asked if they were, in fact, banning guns after they capitulated, they said, no, they were not. It would be business as usual. Huh?
I think they have to revisit the policy. There is no way a policy that prohibits anyone from carrying a defensive handgun is designed to protect employees. It's designed to protect the company from litigation is what it is. I applaud them for maybe not enforcing it or not enforcing it publicly. But I think any business that has a policy that bans an employee from protecting themselves needs to revisit that policy, especially nowadays.
Yeah, in particular, a job like that, you know, like I said, I did it. You went to some scary places when you were delivering pizzas.
Yeah, and you're alone when you're doing
it. Well, you know, we talk, Amber, another group that we hear about firearms, carry firearms a lot, and you've probably seen them in your training. Correct me if I'm wrong. Real estate agents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Female real estate agents, right?
Yeah, they're not just females either. Men too, you know, just real estate agents in general, because they're meeting all these strange people in a lot of empty houses. And, you know, after that lady was kidnapped and killed, they just were like, nope, we're going to do it. We have to protect ourselves. And, you know, that's what they're doing. And I applaud them for that too.
That was one of the first stories, if not the first story, we talked about together here on this program. Together in Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken, was the real estate agent that was killed. Wasn't that in and around the Phoenix area? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a there's quite a few. You know, Phoenix is very gun friendly, and there's a lot of training facilities, and they were, you know, doing classes at the indoor training facilities here just for realtors. They're adding classes just for realtors at some of the training places here.
You know, it's interesting, guys. I spent a lot of years in the trucking business. When I first got out of college, I went to work selling for a company now defunct, was bought by UPS, got swallowed by UPS, called Overnight Transportation Services. I was one of their salespeople. You know, they put me in a starch white shirt and a tie, a little cheap off-the-rack suit, and a company car, which was a Chevy Lumina at the time, and a little phony cardboard briefcase, and I went out and made sales calls to try to get people to put their freight on overnight trucks instead of roadways or yellows or any number of other carriers, many of whom are now out of business. And I found myself in some pretty gnarly areas of town. You know, Lee, the industrial areas of big cities tend to not be next to the gated communities.
Exactly.
You know what I'm talking about. Right?
Exactly.
So, you know, there was a lot of, it was kind of unnerving. Well, these truck drivers, of course, particularly the over-the-road drivers, find themselves making deliveries and pickups in some very bad areas of some very big cities day in and day out for a living. And I got to be honest with you, virtually every company, I can't think of any company that didn't have, Amber, a no guns policy for their drivers, yet not one driver, and I've spoken to many, many hundreds of drivers over the years, in many in the capacity of this show as well, that I don't know any that didn't carry a firearm. So, Amber, is this really kind of like Papa John's telling people publicly, just here's the policy, but shh?
I think that's kind of the way we're headed, you know, and I think that it does, at some point, people are going to have to, employers are going to have to readdress the situation and at some point make a political stand and say, hey, you know, we care about our employees more than we care about these bad guys with guns, and we're going to let, you know, our good employees carry guns so they can protect themselves. You know, because you never know, someone could come into your building, you know, or you could be traveling, driving down the road, making a run to the bank. You never know. And there's a lot of employers that will maybe not allow you to bring your gun into work. But if you bring it and leave it in your car, they're okay with that. Now, is that as good? No, but it's better than nothing. At least you have it in your car, you know, and I think that, you know, they're starting to kind of get to the point where they're going to start thinking about it and saying, hey, we care more about our employees than we do all these bad people that can do bad things to our employees that we care about.
Yeah, I think it's a, I think
that's
it's
my hope.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. It's a public, here's the statement to the public, but we'll look at it on an individual case by case basis, as Papa John's clearly did. Lee, we're getting ready to take a break. I think this throws a real monkey wrench into the Shannon Watts and the Everytown for Gun Safety groups who are going after corporations when things like this happen and the corporations stand by their employees.
I agree. However, it still leaves her open for civil litigation. If she violated policy, that's all the attorneys need to know.
That's interesting. We'll have to follow this. I know a little bit about Georgia law. We'll bring John Monroe in here, and we'll ask him about that one of these days here. Maybe he's listening, and he can give us a call. If not, tweet us at AAR Radio. Are you a lawyer and know a little bit about that? At AAR Radio. Let us know your thoughts. We'll be back right after this.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at waltherarms.com. Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
saf.org, the Second Amendment Foundation. I'll be having dinner in Las Vegas with the great Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, on Wednesday coming up. And I'm looking forward to being able to bring him back to the program after SHOT Show so we can let you in on some of the fun things that we discussed when we meet this week. It's always an honor to talk with Alan Gottlieb. We give him the night off today because he just got back from London, but we're looking forward to having him on after SHOT Show. Welcome back to the program. The tweets are coming in, and this is great. Daniel Wareham tweets in, Papa John's got hundreds of emails and calls not to fire her. Actually, Daniel, I would be surprised if that were not thousands of calls, but we appreciate the tweet very much. Thank you for staying up and following us online while we're on the air. We appreciate it very much. Lee Williams, the gun writer down in Sarasota, surprised that Papa John's got a lot of tweets?
No,
a lot of comments?
I guarantee emails. You're right. It is probably in the thousands.
I would imagine it is. Amber Cuno.
Mark Walters.
Welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you here. Guess who's joining us right now? Good friend of mine and noted attorney, pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment, pro-rights attorney. Very active with GeorgiaCarry.org and a member of the board for GeorgiaCarry.org. And that's a good friend of mine, makes him a good friend of yours. That's attorney John Monroe, joins us from Georgia to answer some of these questions about the liability issue. John, thanks for jumping on the air with us on a quick phone call. We appreciate it.
Hey, Mark, no problem.
All right, you're familiar with this young girl for Papa John's, I'm sure, the story, who was robbed, assaulted, was actually taken to the ground, was being physically and violently assaulted during this robbery when she pulled a firearm and used it to defend her life, shot her attacker in the face. Papa John's issued a statement, as I'm sure you're aware of, that essentially said, hey, we're standing by her. I'll get specific. It says, company policy prohibits employees from utilizing firearms in the performance of their duties. We plan no changes to our current policy, which is designed to protect customers and employees. Upon investigation, considering the specific facts of the situation, we have reassigned the employee to work in the store and are offering her counseling to help her recuperate from this incident. The question that came up in the previous segment is, do they continue to say that publicly while agreeing to keep her on because of liability issues? And does she now face some type of civil action because that's company policy, John?
Not in Georgia, no, because Georgia has both a criminal and civil immunity statute for people who lawfully defend themselves. So if, assuming that they can't introduce any evidence that she wasn't lawfully defending herself, which seems unlikely based on everything we're hearing, then she is immune from both criminal prosecution and from any kind of civil suit.
So her right to self-defense supersedes the company policy, correct?
Yes, that's Georgia law.
Now, is that what, are you referring to the notorious stand your ground? Does that come into play here?
not really. I mean, the phrase is misused a lot by folks who would like to see it go away. But the lack of a duty to retreat and the immunity statute are actually two separate things.
Can you break them down for us?
Sure. The immunity statute, there's a criminal one and a civil one, but they say essentially the same thing. If you use self-defense lawfully under Georgia law, then you are immune from criminal and civil liability. That's different from the so-called stand your ground, or what I call lack of a duty to retreat. That's separate. And what that says is you don't have to retreat or anything like that before using self-defense. So they're really two separate concepts. I mean, they have some kind of interrelation, but they're not the same thing.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't there language written into the quote-unquote stand your ground that also provides civil immunity from civil charges if, in fact, stand your ground is enacted and found to be legitimate in the particular case? Is that true?
No, they're two separate statutes. I mean,
okay.
You're correct that that's what the law says, but they're not. It's not the same statute.
Okay. You said it's in Georgia. Can you give us an example of somewhere where a person in this situation might not have the protection that we have in the state of Georgia?
You know, I haven't undertaken a study to see how many states have immunity. I think it's relatively rare. I just know from all the news and all with the Trayvon Martin case that Florida has a similar immunity statute to Georgia's, but I don't think that most states do. I don't know. I'm guessing that most of the, Northeast Coast states probably do not have one.
So, in other words, this person could be sued in another state, for example.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And lose everything for even though they lawfully defend themselves and were not charged with a crime, they could still be forced into civil court and lose a civil suit, maybe for a wrongful death. Is that what the suit would be?
Yeah, and, just because they don't have immunity doesn't necessarily translate into them losing. In fact, I think it would be a very difficult case for a plaintiff to win, or a plaintiff to state if the person had died. But, that doesn't stop somebody from bringing it and stop you from having the expense of having to defend it.
Lord knows in Connecticut or New York or California or any of these other crazy states, John, you never know what's going to happen. Well, listen, we appreciate the answers. Lee, do you have any questions for John before we let him get back to what he was doing?
I do, John. What kind of liability do you see for her employer, for Papa John's there in Georgia?
I don't think there'd be much at all. I mean, you do have in Georgia the concept of respondeat superior, meaning that the employer is responsible for the torts committed by the employee while acting in the scope of employment. She probably was acting in the scope of employment. But because they had a specific rule saying you can't do that, that might give them some protection. But then you also have the fact that the person who attacked her was acting unlawfully, you know, feloniously even. So it's hard to imagine, especially in Georgia, that there would be any liability for the employer even.
I know, we have that guns everywhere here, John. You know, the guns everywhere. Go ahead, Lee.
If I can follow up on that, John. So you're saying in states like Georgia and my free state here of Florida, if we have the stand laws on the books, that would kind of legally supersede an employer's prohibition against guns in the workplace, or could?
Well, not. I mean, all the guns in the workplace thing is, I mean, that's just a work rule.
Yeah.
And the employer is free to enforce it. So, you know, Papa John's would be perfectly legal to, you know, to discipline her or terminate her if that's what they chose to do. So so it doesn't supersede it in that respect. But as to third persons, somebody else doesn't have any right or ability to rely on that work rule to protect them or prevent them from, you know, from having somebody defend themselves.
Thank you.
John, let me ask this question. Let's get away from the legal aspect for a second. When a company like Papa John's makes that public statement, and maybe let's ask you in your capacity at Georgia Carey, someone who has worked tirelessly from the legislative side of things, what are your thoughts, personal thoughts, when you see a company that makes that public statement and then doesn't back it up by terminating the employee? They have this rule in place. Of course, it's not a law. It's a rule. It's a company policy. But they don't back it up. What does that say? What is Papa John's trying to get across here by keeping her and making that public as well?
Well, I'm guessing they, you know, had an internal meeting and decided that the best PR course would be not to terminate her. But, you know, I don't know if she wanted to move inside the store or what. But, you know, when I saw that, it made me think, well, they didn't fire her, but they moved her inside the store, which means she's no longer working for tips and probably is going to make quite a bit less money. But maybe she wanted to move inside the store. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen. It is fascinating. I'd like to ask you to hold, if we could. Sean just belched into my ear, hold the lawyer. So if I could ask you to hold briefly, we're getting ready to take a break. Amber, that's a huge story. And now that we heard from John a little bit from John about this, it changes everything. I don't want to ask you what the ruling is or what the laws may be in Arizona on such short notice. But maybe we'll follow up on that. If you'll stick on the phone, too, Amber, we'd appreciate it. Lee Williams, the gun writer in Sarasota, joins me for the remainder of the program. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom here on the Armed American Radio Network. And the whole panel will be back right after this.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com. Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff. The Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
For more information and to join the conversation, please visit Armed American Radio on Facebook and armedamericanradio.com. And now, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios, here is Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, you're going to want to fire up the Twitter. I promise you on this. Communicate with us at AAR Radio, at AAR Radio. We have some tweets coming in. I'll read them to you in just a few minutes. But the topic of this discussion just took a turn here on Armed American Radio, and it's going to fascinate you. We have, first off, let me welcome Lee Williams back. Lee, the gun writer down in Sarasota, you are in Tampa right now at the 860 The Answer Studios. Thank you for making the drive and for being here.
My pleasure. I'm in the Faith Talk 570 studio.
That's right, Faith Talk 570. All those in the WLSS 930, all those studios are all right there in that building, and it's a beautiful thing. It's home to me. I'm jealous. Amber Cuno.
Mark Walters.
You have some information on the law in Arizona. We'll get to that momentarily. And we have attorney John Monroe on the line. John, thank you for taking our call and jumping on the air with us. We have a caller on the line from Tampa, Florida. His name is Mike Cartwright. Mike, welcome to the program. How are you today?
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. You have quite a story to tell, and thank goodness for modern technology. I was able to look some of it up after Sean took your call. Feel like giving it to us right now, and then we'll let the panel discuss it. Go right ahead.
Well, thank you, and I just started recently listening to your show. I admire you guys' courage, particularly a lot of the people that are listening and call in and talk. I'm kind of nervous talking on the radio. I kind of got the media. They beat me up in the last few years and really did a number on me.
Yeah, well, the media would do that to you, huh?
Well, yeah. you're discussing about employment law and use of firearms and laws in the workplace and stuff. I was a cop, a deputy sheriff here in Hillsborough County for 21 years. I served that agency for all that time. I worked underneath three different sheriffs, and finally one day I had to pull my firearm out and display it to get control of a hazardous situation. And
that for political reasons they used it to terminate me.
After 21 years on the Hillsborough County Sheriff's, and I know several Hillsborough County Sheriff's deputies. It's a large organization and got a fairly good reputation. You said 21 years?
Yeah, 21 years. They've got 4,000 employees, and just about 2,500 of them are law enforcement and good people, hard workers. You know, most cops want to do good. They take the job because of a sense of an honor and stuff. I'm sorry that a few make it bad for us. That's what they tried to do with me. They tried to project me finally after 21 years as a bad cop. I spent over $25,000 in legal fees trying to prove that, you know, what happened, you know, was me just trying to do my job. And it's been a nightmare ever since. You know, 6 years of just really difficult times.
How has the Tampa press, in particular, the St. Pete Times, been covering you as well?
Well, it's the Tampa Times now. I've tried to get to some of their writers, like Jeff Testerman. You know, I've tried to get the people that do the police beats. I've given calls up to New York where, you know, now, you know, being a cop up there seems to be a whole lot more hazardous with the ambush on police. Mm-hmm. You know, just 5 months before my incident, Sergeant Ron Harrison had gotten shot in his car at Kings and Lumsden and Brandon. He was just sitting in a car, and a gangster pulled up next to him, shot and killed him. They brought me in. They had, like everyone else, they trained us on, you know, use of firearms, particularly from your vehicle. I had an incident while I was on duty and had to display my firearm, and they wrote me up for an aggravated assault with a felony third degree, but they dropped, you know, they didn't want to go criminally with it, but administratively they said I should have never pulled my firearm out. I carry my firearm every day, you know. It's just like a flashlight, you know, the walkie-talkies. You know, sometimes you use it, sometimes you don't.
And you were actually on duty when this incident occurred?
Yeah, the one incident, there was two things. You know, one was on duty, the other was off duty. This one was on duty. Sergeant Harrison had just got shot in his car. I was put in a precarious circumstance where I had to pull my firearm out and display it. And they took it, wrote me up as a third-degree felony, you know, aggravated assault, listed me as a suspect. But Mark Ober's office, I guess, didn't want to follow through with the politics. So, you know, the sheriff was just trying to get rid of the union. He had the PBA union. He let it come in there, and then he changed his mind, as many politicians do, and he wanted to get rid of the union. And so, you know, they perceived me as a leader because I was senior deputy in my district, and they go after, you know, the yep. big boys to scare everybody else.
Well, I remember the Harrison incident. I was living down there at the time. Lee Williams, gun writer, you cover this kind of stuff for the Sarasota Herald Tribune. Do you remember what we're talking about here?
No, my coverage area for my day job, for my investigative reporting, is usually focused around Manatee, Sarasota, okay. a little bit south of there. I'm familiar with some of the incidents involved, though.
Yeah, the Harrison incident, I am. It's fascinating to me. John Monroe, you care to jump in here quickly? I know it's very short notice, and we don't have a lot of time to do research, but what do you think when you hear stuff like this with an on-duty deputy? You deal with a lot of police officers yourself and know a lot of them also.
I do. You know, without knowing the facts of the case, I can't really comment on it. I mean, I have a client right now who's got a case against a sheriff's deputy who pulled a gun on him for no apparent reason, and the deputy was fired the next day, and there's some civil action being contemplated. But, you know, every case is different. Sometimes show of force is justified, sometimes it's not.
Mike, first of all, I want to thank you for the call, and I'd like to ask you to get some contact information for Sean, because we're getting ready to end this segment here of the hour. I'd like to get back in touch with you and possibly bring you back onto the program. Fascinating story. I'm looking at some of it now, and I would like to talk with you in greater detail, if that's okay, number one. And number two, can you tell us quickly, before we have to let this call go, how has this wound up for you right now? How has this been adjudicated? Where do you stand since this incident in 2009, I think it was?
From 2008, it was that incident, and there was an off-duty incident where a nut in a road rage attacked me with his gun. I got out of my car, and I ran away to a police officer in a march unit nearby. I waved him down, and, they investigated it. And then when they saw it was me, the supervisors waved everybody off, and they just said, we're not going to investigate. I mean, my story's pretty dynamic. I'm on the air. I want to tell you a couple things. Police, there's a problem. And you got a problem with the government, and you got a problem with the
the media with this whole thing about guns and stuff. I admire everything you guys are doing. I'm going to be listening a whole lot more often, and I'd love you. I'd love to tell you my story. I'd love to tell you more.
I look forward to that, and you're right. The internal affairs thing, that's always a great topic for discussion, and you, of course, have lived it. Mike, we're going to go ahead and let the call go from the air, but Sean, if you would, please get Mike's contact information for us before he goes. And, Mike, again, thank you very much. We'll be following up with you very, very soon to bring you back. I want to talk about this with you on air. Lee, that's fascinating stuff, brother.
Yeah, and he provided his contact info to me. I'll be contacting him offline during the week.
Okay, well, you know, we talk about the mainstream media all the time and what they can do to someone. And I've asked you as a listener to look yourself in the mirror from time to time. If you've made a decision to carry a firearm to defend your life, look yourself in the mirror. Think about every stupid thing you did when you were a kid up to today. And ask yourself what the mainstream media could do to you if they wanted to and they had it out to destroy you. You think about that. During the break, when we come back, we'll be joined again by Lee Williams, the gun writer down in Sarasota, who is in the Tampa studios of Faith Talk 570 right there at 860 The Answer and WLSS 930 in the Tampa Broadcasting Center. And we have Amber Cuno, who is going to stick with us through the break and into the next hour. We'll also be joined by activist David Codria, who will be reporting from a Virginia Citizens Defense League meeting he is speaking at. Don't go away. Remember, carry on, carry off, and carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Don't be that silly unarmed caveman. At AAR Radio to give us your thoughts at AAR Radio.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby, like a dark king. Jealous me by the clamor now, baby.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.